from rice snake oil.
There are scaling myths.
So far, bigger and bigger language models have proven more and more capable. But does the past predict the future? One popular view is that we should expect the trends that have held so far to continue for many more orders of magnitude, and that it will potentially get us to artificial general intelligence, or a GI.
This view rests on a series of myths and misconceptions.
The seeming predictability of scaling is a misunderstanding of what research has shown.
Besides, there are signs that LLM developers are already at the limit of high-quality training data, and the industry is seeing strong downward pressure on model size. While we can't predict exactly how far AI will advance through scaling, we think there's virtually no chance that scaling alone will lead to a GOI.
Research on scaling laws shows that as we increase model size, training compute and dataset size, language models get better.
The improvement is truly striking in its predictability and holds across many orders of magnitude.
This is the main reason why many people believe that scaling will continue for the foreseeable future with regular releases of larger, more powerful models from leading AI companies.
But this is a complete misinterpretation of scaling laws.
What exactly is a better model? Scaling laws only quantify the decrease in perplexity, that is, improvement in how well models can predict the next word in a sequence. Of course, perplexity is more or less irrelevant to end users. What matters is emergent abilities, that is, models' tendency to acquire new capabilities as size increases. Emergence is not governed by any law-like behavior. It is true that so far, increases in scale have brought new capabilities.
But there is no empirical regularity that gives us confidence that this will continue indefinitely. One, why might emergence not continue indefinitely?
This gets at one of the core debates about LLM capabilities. Are they capable of extrapolation, or do they only learn tasks represented in the training data?
The evidence is incomplete, and there is a wide range of reasonable ways to interpret it. But we lean toward the skeptical view. On benchmarks designed to test the efficiency of acquiring skills to solve unseen tasks, LLMs tend to perform poorly.
If LLMs can't do much beyond what's seen in training, at some point having more data no longer helps because all the tasks that are ever going to be represented in it are already represented.
Every traditional machine learning model eventually plateaus. Maybe LLMs are no different. Another barrier to continued scaling is obtaining training data.
Companies are already using all the readily available data sources.
Can they get more?
This is less likely than it might seem.
But considering that most of that has little or no usable audio, it is instead music, still images, video game footage, etc.
We end up with an estimate that is much less than the 15 trillion tokens that Llama 3 is already using, and that's before deduplication and quality filtering of the transcript. I'd YouTube audio, which is likely to knock off at least another order of magnitude. Two, people often discuss when companies will run out of training data.
People sometimes assume the new data sources, such as transcribing all of YouTube, will increase the available data volume by another order of magnitude or two.
Indeed, YouTube has a remarkable 150 billion minutes of video. But this is not a meaningful question.
There's always more training data, but getting it will cost more and more.
And now that copyright holders have wised up and want to be compensated, the cost might be especially steep.
In addition to dollar costs, there could be reputational and regulatory costs, because society might push back against data collection practices.
We can be certain that no exponential trend can continue indefinitely.
But it can be hard to predict when a tech trend is about to plateau.
This is especially so when the growth stops suddenly rather than gradually. The trend line itself contains no clue that it is about to plateau. Two famous examples are CPU clock speeds in the 2000s and airplane speeds in the 1970s. CPU manufacturers decided that further increases to clock speed were too costly and mostly pointless since CPU was no longer the bottleneck for overall performance, and simply decided to stop competing on this dimension, which suddenly removed the upward pressure on clock speed. With airplanes, the story is more complex but comes down to the market prioritizing fuel efficiency over speed. Three, with LLMs, we may have a couple of orders of magnitude of scaling left, or we may already be done.
As with CPUs and airplanes, it is ultimately a business decision and fundamentally hard to predict in advance.
On the research front, the focus has shifted from compiling ever larger datasets to improving the quality of training data. Careful data cleaning and filtering can allow building equally powerful models with much smaller datasets. For synthetic data is often suggested as the path to continued scaling. In other words, maybe current models can be used to generate training data for the next generation of models.
But we think this rests on a misconception. We don't think developers are using or can use synthetic data to increase the volume of training data.
This paper has a great list of uses for synthetic data for training, and it's all about fixing specific gaps and making domain-specific improvements like math code or low-resource languages.
Similarly, NVIDIA's recent Nemotron 3 and Sim40B model, which is geared at synthetic data generation, targets alignment as the primary use case.
There are a few secondary use cases, but replacing current sources of pre-training data is not one of them.
In short, it's unlikely that mindless generation of synthetic training data will have the same effect as having more high-quality human data. There are cases where synthetic training data has been spectacularly successful, such as AlphaGo, which beat the Go world champion in 2016, and its successors AlphaGo Zero and AlphaZero.
These systems learned by playing games against themselves. The latter two did not use any human games as training data.
They used a ton of calculation to generate somewhat high-quality games, used those games to train a neural network, which could then generate even higher quality games when combined with calculation, resulting in an iterative improvement loop.
Self-Play is the quintessential example of System 2 System 1 distillation, in which a slow and expensive System 2 process generates training data to train a fast and cheap System 1 model.
This works well for a game like Go, which is a completely self-contained environment.
Adapting Self-Play to domains beyond games is a valuable research direction.
There are important domains like code generation, where this strategy may be valuable. But we certainly can't expect indefinite self-improvement for more open-ended tasks, say language translation. We should expect domains that admit significant improvement through self-play to be the exception rather than the rule. Historically, the three axes of scaling dataset size, model size, and training compute have progressed in tandem, and this is known to be optimal.
But what will happen if one of the axes' high-quality data becomes a bottleneck?
Will the other two axes, model size and training compute, continue to scale?
Based on current market trends, building bigger models does not seem like a wise business move, even if it would unlock new emergent capabilities.
That's because capability is no longer the barrier to adoption.
In other words, there are many applications that are possible to build with current LLM capabilities but aren't being built or adopted due to cost among other reasons.
This is especially true for agentic workflows, which might invoke LLMs tens or hundreds of times to complete a task such as code generation. In the past year, much of TH